T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
In the chairs for a fast-paced 90-minute program for you this afternoon. Paul Eihander here, Lindsey Brown over there.
We are hitting all the stages at the correct time, Paul.
A full sentence from Lindsey to start the show.
You never know what you're going to get.
It's the truth.
You really don't.
That elicited laughter in the other room.
Huh. That's what I'm here for, Paul, to bring out the laughs and all the milkshakes to the yard.
All the milkshakes. Yep. I thought you weren't, like, big into the...
I love milkshakes.
Do you?
Are you serious?
Oh, it's the cheese. Sorry, it's the cheese part of the
dairy.
Yeah,
you know, milkshakes, cheese, totally synonymous. Come on.
It pretty much is.
I mean, Oreo milkshakes, chocolate banana milkshakes, that's pretty much the bread and butter.
Can you make an Oreo milkshake at your house, or do you, like, have to buy it from somewhere else?
I mean, I haven't done that at my house.
You have a blender.
I do now have a blender, so it's definitely an option. I'd have to get some Oreo topping. And maybe we'll put that on the list. Gotta wait till Friday until we get all the dessert funds.
They were just on sale, too.
Huh.
At Albertsons.
Well, damn it!
88 cents.
We missed out.
That's cheap for
just
Oreos.
Just crush up some Oreo. I used to do that back in the day when I would get my McFlurry, and I would say, like, extra Oreo topping. It wasn't enough. And so I would bring
Because
I would get the Oreo, I would get the McFlurry. I'm like, there's a lack. There's an absence of Oreo topping for me.
Just wondering where that line gets drawn.
And so I would buy, you know, like your normal, is it like a box? Is it like a carriage of Oreos? Double stuff, obviously.
Sure.
And I would crush them up in the car, like after I went through the drive-thru, and I would put it in there. So I had like much bigger chunks and got it to the ratio that was necessary for me to have it acceptable for my palate.
I could just imagine some Metro cop come rolling up on you in the dark in a McDonald's parking lot at like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, you know the machines lights, are being cleaned at that point, Paul. This is afternoon.
The lights are on, and dude just comes rapping on the door with a baton. Excuse me, what are you doing here?
Just getting my pyramid of nutrition, sir,
and
madam.
He's seeing all this crushed, like, white stuff all over the place. And
it's not the consistency that you think, sir. I promise.
You're sniffing. You're kind of slightly crying.
No, if things can't be done well, then I will do it myself.
That is that helps, I suppose.
Yep.
For sure.
It helps in the areas that matter.
Right.
Like the McFlurry ratios of Oreo.
I'm told if you say the initials BTS fast 5 times, like, people will just come flocking to you in hopes that you're going to play one of their songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it like the Beetlejuice thing? You say it 3 times in the mirror and then he's going to pop right out and grab you?
Right. No, it's the Korean boy band thing.
I know. Yep. Like, I'm familiar.
Yeah. It's like one of the, it's one of those things where I'm told if you just say it out loud, they just start, the music just kind of starts up.
You know, if you say Boots and Cats fast 5 times, you're basically halfway to Justin Timberlake's beatboxing career.
Boots and Cats.
Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats.
So, I mean, BTS, BTS, BTS.
I'm too scared BTS. That I feel like that. I'm going to swear.
You say it 5 times?
I haven't practiced it.
It's all right. Big show coming for you today. We do have Dodgers baseball for you this afternoon as the Dodgers take on the Cincinnati Reds. It is a 7-inning spring training game. 4:30 pregame, 5:05 first pitch.
Is it going to be 7, though? They can wave the white flag whenever they want, right? Technically.
They'll just play 7 no matter what happens.
Okay, that's not what we've been talking about. What if a pitcher gets into a bad spot and we want to get him out of there?
They can actually stop.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
You know, yeah, no, they had a sticky one.
Yeah, it was Boston.
Well, it happened last night during their game against the Giants, which was not, they didn't offer that one to us on radio.
You love the Giants.
Goodness.
You have the tramp stamp.
I do not have
said Buster Posey's face. Hi.
Not acceptable.
Batting titles.
Not acceptable.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
But we do have Dodgers baseball for you tonight, or this afternoon, 5 o'clock first pitch. So we got to get things going here with the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
Teams have already been eliminated this afternoon.
No!
Yes, the basketball March Madness has returned to Las Vegas. We are playing again in front of only family, apparently, but the Pac-12 women's basketball tournament, the first to kick off this afternoon already, and California is going home. They lost already.
Oh,
so.
No!
Yes, California is
gone
home.
We need their dollars, Paul.
Well, again, it was just family that got to fly in to drive in or whatever
sure.
It is. So 24 people left Las Vegas this afternoon as Oregon State beat Cal in the first of many basketball tournament games here. We have five conferences coming to Las Vegas this year. The newest is the Big West Conference.
Big West?
Yes.
We have the Mountain West, now we have a Big West?
Yes, the Big West is all the Cal State schools. So like Fullerton, Bakersfield, Pomona. All those schools.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a lot of courts here, Paul.
We do have plenty of
gavels included.
Right. So this is at Mandalay Bay. Tomorrow, the West Coast Conference gets underway over at Orleans.
Sweet.
And then we'll see the Mountain West Conference get underway. Now, again, there's just
this is why the Knights, the Golden Abyss and the Solar Kind are on the road.
Yes. After tonight's game, they will all hit the road for 10 days because it'll all be about college basketball. And again, that kicked off this afternoon at Mandalay. And it will run for the next 11 days. So welcome to the city if you are visiting for the first time. And if you're visiting for the eighth time, welcome back. It's been a while.
We missed you.
We certainly did.
Number two.
Except for the California people, right? We don't love them as much. Although we love your dollars.
We love the California people.
The California.
As long as they use their blinkers, right?
Correct. For the love of the Lord, Jimmy Garoppolo, please use your blinkers.
Kevin Harvick will start in the pole for the NASCAR Pennzoil 400 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. That is Sunday afternoon. You can listen to that here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. William Byron, who won in Miami, will be also in the second pole position. He is going to be joined by Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr., Michael McDowell. They will go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as they set up the starting lineup based on owner points position, owner final race position.
Owner points position? What does this mean?
And the finish and fastest lap for the most recently completed race. Performance metrics qualifying is a form. You know what? It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. Guess what? They're still doing pole. Turning left!
Kevin Harvick will start on the pole, and the news that just came out about 30 minutes ago that all three races this weekend, starting on Friday, have sold out.
You damn right they did, Paul.
There are no tickets left.
Damn right!
12,500 will watch the trucks turn left on Friday night. There you go. Thank you, Darrell Waltrip. On Saturday afternoon, 12,500 people will watch the Xfinity Cup Series race, which is the Alsco Uniforms 300, I think. And then the Pennzoil 400 on Sunday, of which 12,500 people will be allowed in.
Woot, woot!
Sold out. And
they don't use blinkers out there because they're professionals and it's on a closed track. But everywhere else, they're incredibly necessary.
And the good news is 0% chance of rain.
Oh! So, well, things do change quickly around here, Paul.
They do, but
maybe I'll go hiking this weekend. It's been a while. Yeah, and get some knees up.
And then you can listen to the race.
Yes. You know me, Paul.
You will be listening to the race.
Of turning left fans. Yes.
Yep. So you want me to handle the interviews tomorrow and Friday, then, is what you're saying?
I can interview. I'm just not going to say that they're the deepest of dives. Sometimes you just got to take a snorkel instead of an oxygen tank, Paul.
So when you change all four tires, is it fast?
I can do the sound effects.
Right. How accurate was Cars?
Yeah. Lightning McQueen, does it speak to you or not?
It probably does.
Okay, cool.
I mean, it might.
I got 24 hours to engross myself.
Get freshed up. Yeah, interviews tomorrow and Friday.
In the racing.
About NASCAR.
Yes.
Yep, that's on the way.
Don't worry. I'm on top of it.
Number three.
All right. We have a co-ed dance team in the NFL. The Washington football team will be going with a co-ed dance squad as they rebrand the cheerleader program. There is a senior advisor focused on creating game day entertainment, and the goal is to create a more modern franchise, says Petra Pope.
Yeah. Well, because we don't have a great track record with cheerleaders with that franchise, so it's probably good to move on.
Well, no, it's very clear that they don't have a very good track record because it ended in a terrible way as well. Apparently, much like news these days, the current cheerleading squad found out that they were being let go via Twitter. No one called them.
It just takes one email.
No one called.
God.
So, yeah, we're going to go diverse, co-ed, and athletic, but the current squad, yeah, you're going to find out you're being let go via Twitter.
You can try out, though. Like, I did read that.
Why?
I read that. You could try out if you're a former cheerleader for the dance squad.
We got fired via Twitter. Yeah. Nobody called us.
They say that the interpersonal skills are a dying art, Paul.
My God.
That's why we're here as examples.
They couldn't even have done one of those weird group Zoom calls where they could have just muted themselves.
Yes, you've been eliminated.
Right.
We apologize.
You are the weakest link. Oh, goodness. All right.
Goodest of buys.
Moving on.
Number four.
Yeah, that'll go over well. Yeah. Already went over well with everybody that they let go that they didn't tell that we're being let go.
Yeah. Hopefully they have good severance packages.
Yeah, I'm sure. The New York Jets. Read the tea leaves, everybody, are moving on from Sam Darnold.
What?
General manager Joe Douglas telling reporters he will field inquiries about Sam Darnold. I will answer the call is made.
You made this sound like this is a done deal.
It's done.
No, it's not.
It's done.
If they're just fielding, you still have to throw the ball in for the out.
We
call.
Are ready to listen to offers for quarterback Sam Darnold. We have the number 2 pick in the 2021 draft. Pretty much means they're going to move on.
Yeah, so they're taking either what's-his-face from BYU or Justin Fields.
Zach Wilson or Justin Fields.
Wilson! Wilson!
Yep, you have to stick that in your head.
Yep, literally.
On your head.
On the head, in the head.
So he's coming off career lows in passer rating. I mean, you could thank Adam Gase for some of that.
Yeah.
Also mono.
Damn mono. That's
mono.
The worst.
Mono when you're
25. Well, you can get
25.
It from water bottles, Paul. Yeah. That always made the rounds
through
the high school
water
locker rooms. Yeah. That happened a lot before a year ago.
The franchise was going to evaluate the incoming quarterback class before determining Darnold's fate. Apparently they have, but there is no hard timeline on a decision. I would suggest you want to get that one done soon.
Yeah, because what if it's some more picks?
Hopefully.
But then again, you almost want to wait to the draft because then, you know, that's a pressure point. So you might get a higher haul than you would have if you do it like now-ish.
Well, they have number 2 and... people are looking for quarterbacks. There's a franchise just up the road from them who's looking for one.
What do you feel, number 2?
We'll see how it goes. Jets taking
number 5.
All right.
Scott.
The UNLV team has turnover when it comes to the football staff. They've got a hire and a promotion.
Are we in the same check down? Did you change things?
I did.
Oh, my God.
Jonathan Krause. Yes, we moved on. That stuff moved into the third segment.
All right.
Yeah, you need to refresh screen.
All right.
As the pop-up comes up on my screen.
Yeah.
UNLV football has 2 new coaches. Jonathan Krause is the new wide receivers coach. He spent the last 3 seasons at Oregon.
God, you love this.
I don't.
Why?
Because it makes Oregon a little bit weaker in this kind of aspect.
Doesn't Kelly make you stronger, Kelly?
I guess. And former Cal quarterback Nick Longshore, who was an offensive analyst last year, is now the tight ends coach. And then they've moved a couple of other guys to new duties and things like that.
Huh.
It makes sense. Going to bring in some new blood. A tough year in year 1, and he already lost a couple of guys. Jordan Papau.
Papau!
Went to Arizona.
Papau!
But they're ready to go again, make a couple of hires. Clearly, the hiring freeze has ended at UNLV.
Yes. We need new friends. Let us hire them.
So congrats to head coach Marcus Arroyo for bringing on a couple of people he's familiar with. And good luck to UNLV in the new season. Spring practice begins in 26 days.
Ooh.
26 days.
That's like a hot second away, Paul.
It feels like it.
Yep.
It feels like
not a cold
it.
Second, a hot one.
All right, so that's the check down for you. Your 5 most talked about stories of the day, presented by BetQL. Become a better sports better. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Coming up next, we're going to dig into some Marc-Andre Fleury numbers with TSN writer Travis Yost. It's coming up next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul Ihander, Lindsey Brown with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us today as the Knights get ready for a game tonight against the Minnesota Wild as we talk about the top portion, the upper echelon of the Western Division, one of the catalysts behind the Golden Knights' wins as of late and throughout the entire season, really, has been a rejuvenated Marc-Andre Fleury. Our next guest, who joins us via the CBS Sports Radio 1140 phone line, presented by BetQL, wrote a very in-depth article. It definitely went inside the numbers on Marc-Andre Fleury's renaissance, so to speak. He wrote the article for TSN. Travis Yost joins us. Welcome back to the program, Travis.
Hey.
Travis, you there? Just making sure, because we don't want it to be like a five-hole Swiss cheese situation with the goalie pads. We want to make sure we get the full information on our favorite goaltender here with Marc-Andre Fleury. And how are you doing today, Travis?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty, pretty well. And you know, the other night, Fleury got a little bit away from what was really making him so good in the net this year. He was starting to press a little bit, but it makes sense because he played like something like 11 straight games. But Paul was just talking about some of the stats that you're using to illustrate just what he is displaying right now. So that goals saved above average. Where is he at in terms of the league, and where is he at in terms of how his career has gone so far?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I mean, number one, I could have predicted the tough Minnesota game, because anytime you write about someone the day before in a positive light, they usually make you feel terrible the following day. So I was like, man, I probably just jinxed Fleury with that. But, I mean, to your question, I mean, this is almost like a third renaissance for him, and it's happened at such a fascinating moment when he was on the brink of being traded, the organization was ready to move on, his numbers were substandard, and that would be a nice way to call it over the last couple of years. I don't think the organization was moving on, but this year, I mean, even look at what he's done over the first 2 months of the season. He's got a save percentage. He's stopping over 93.5% of shots. That includes the Minnesota game from the weekend where he gave up 4 goals, which is right near the top of the league. And he's about 8 goals saved above expectations, which takes into consideration the shot quality he's facing, right? Because one of the key points with Fleury, when you see a rebound like this, you look at other changes the team has made and see if there's any correlation, right? So they bring in Alex Pietrangelo to stabilize that defense, and you draw a direct line and say, well, they brought in a really strong top-pairing defenseman. They've made other moves to play, I think, a little bit more of a conservative defensive game. They were frequently getting burned on counterattacks and turnovers last year against better teams. So you start looking at that sort of stuff. But, you know, one of the key things I think with Fleury here is there's a mental component that is hard, if not impossible, to measure. But you put yourself in the mind or the body of someone who's losing their job. And let's be honest, whether or not, you know, if Robin Leonard's back tonight, Robin Leonard's back next week, if he's back in a month, he's going to be the starter long term. But There's something to be said for a guy who knows he's the starter, and Robin Leonard's injury, I think, may have been a little bit of an ignition for Fleury, where he knew he was going to get the crease 7, 10, 11 games, I think he said, in a row. And it's look, man, no one wants to play a goalie that much in 2021 on consecutive with such a compressed schedule on top of it. But he's risen to the occasion, and I got, you know, if you're in the Golden Knights front office, you're probably weirdly happy that the off-season flat cap and the expected Fleury trade never happened, because he's probably, along with Mark Stone, been their best player so far this year.
I 100% agree. It's interesting that you note the pushing of Robin Leonard and what that level of competition does for that, because there's definitely the benefits that are paying off this year, but I think that really starts in the offseason, given how much drama there was when, you know, they did trade for Robin Leonard, basically went to him for the entire playoff bubble. And I really think it accelerated Marc-Andre Fleury's mentality of saying, I need to find a way how to find an edge in my game again. And I think it forced him to modernize his style more than he probably would have considered than he would have if Malcolm Subban was still backing him up, who's really not a threat to him at all.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that. And the reason why I say that is one of the things, now let me be clear, right? Everyone's biased, myself included. And when you see a guy stopping 94% of shots, you look at everything to possibly explain why that could be the case. That is not just randomness, right? But one of the things that seems obvious to me over the first 2 months of the season, he's more conservative holding his net and keeping his angles inside of the net. Fleury has historically been a wide-eyed gambler in the net, making 10-bell saves. You know, he's all over the crease, and from time to time he gets burned, and there have been instances, regular season and playoff, where, you know, I'll never forget the series against the, you know, he had the series against the Islanders, the series against the Flyers back in Pittsburgh, and last year was a lot more of the same, where it felt like he was gambling too frequently, losing his net, and giving up goals on shots that really were barely scoring chances in many cases. He's always been able to make the big save, but for him, and he's not alone, right? The similar concern has been talked about for years with another goalie in Los Angeles, and Jonathan Quick, where it's, we love the aggression, but it sometimes it can be overly aggressive. I think he's been a lot more disciplined in staying inside of that crease and trying to angle up with shooters. And I think it's made his job a lot easier. And by the way, the Leonard thing I think is important, right? Because if you needed a corroborating data point or you needed something to convince Fleury that, hey, let's tone it down a little bit. You're in your mid to late 30s at this point. Like, you're not going to be able to recover as quickly. There is no better goalie in the league outside of maybe Ben Bishop to point to and say, this is the benefit of being able to eat space in your crease. Robin Lehner is not nearly, he wouldn't even be on the short list of most athletic goalies or anything close.
Certainly not.
He's so big and he's so fundamentally strong that he shuts off so many angles and carries consistently high save percentages that if you're a goalie like Fleury, yes, a lot smaller, doesn't have the, you know, the exact same skill set as Lehner, good and bad alike. But I think it's a bit of a lesson for him. Like, oh yeah, this is doable. I don't need to be, you know, I don't need to be that gambling type, especially on a team that is arguably, if not the best, a top three even strength team in the league. So, again, I think there have been certainly lessons learned, and I think he's using it to his benefit this year.
Yeah, and I really think it's really an adjustment of like 6 inches where you're not gapping out as far in your crease. Like, you're seeing a lot of these acrobatic saves that are definitely feeding into these goals saved above average. The ones where he's, you know, windmilling with his arm or just barely getting a piece with his shoulder. He's getting a little bit more time to react, but at least then he's in better position to recover, as you said. That means if that rebound goes cross crease, oh, I have to cover, you know, 2 less total feet than I would. And then with, like you said, that calming presence, that's just a different frequency mentally. But you mentioned about the Golden Knights and all the acquisitions that they made in the defensive zone, but they're still, you know, having a really tough time creating that fortress around him. And I think the Minnesota Wild game was a perfect example of that, where he had like 4 guys on the boards and then all of a sudden we had like Marcus Foligno wide open in front of the net. There has to be a regression back to the mean for him in terms of playing time, in terms of how teams pick up on tendencies and stuff, because we're, you know, seeing teams 2 games in a row. What do you think is going to be on the docket for tonight against the Minnesota Wild, who is a very impressive team and one that I'm very impressed with in terms of their turnarounds in the last couple of years?
Yeah, so there's no doubt. The key, Vegas' season, I mean, high-end possession team, an incredible top six, now a very strong top four with that. I think the biggest gain they have had so far year over year has been the reduction in these high danger areas, the defensive zone, where even towards the end of the season last year, where they were playing in their return to play format, where they were playing really good hockey. I mean, there was moments against in the Vancouver series. I mean, basically moments throughout where it was like, ooh, they're really serving up some turnovers and opportunities for opposing teams in really good areas. We haven't seen that as much, but it is still the biggest focus area for this team. And it is a byproduct of being so strong offensively with the puck. Opposing teams so infrequently have the puck and are so reliant against Vegas with counterattacks and turnovers. The average game Vegas is going to win, you know, 7 out of 10 nights. But you cannot sustain with the defensive zone turnovers. You certainly can't sustain it when you're playing against better teams like Colorado and Minnesota. And I think that is the other key part. They looked sloppy against Minnesota. And, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you might have said, yeah, Minnesota's an okay team. They can threaten you, but they've always been kind of a fringe playoff team floating in that, you know, in that window. They look really, really good this year. I mean, they probably are on my very short list, if not at the top of the list, of teams that I've been surprised by this year. They can get to the interior with no problem in the offensive zone. They've been doing it all year. Vegas was not the first team that they did that to, and I think for the Golden Knights, it's about shutting off that interior once again. I mean, you cannot, to your point, you cannot let opposing shooters have this open freeway to the low slot and expect Fleury or Leonard or anyone for that matter to continue bailing them out and stopping 92.5% of shots. I mean, the league save percentage right now is a tick above 90%. I mean, the goaltending that Vegas has gotten so far this year is remarkable. It will slide, and you know what the best offset of sliding goaltending is cleaning up the defensive zone.
Travis Yost of TSN behind the numbers on Marc-Andre Fleury's renaissance, and always great to catch up with you, Travis. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
All right, anytime, guys. Take care.
All right, Travis joins us via the CBS Sports Radio 1140 phone line presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Yeah.
Some good insight, clearly. I mean, and he's a numbers guy, and
right.
he takes a look at it, you know, kind of like it's kind of like your head. You see them in angles and kind of
right.
like geometry.
Because I wasn't worried about the numbers.
Right, and he sees it through the math portion of things.
Right, and the really interesting point that I hadn't considered is that he says that the league average is just a tick above 90% for save percentage. And so that, if you're sub 90 as a goaltender, you're like, that is not in the territory you need to be in from a game by game basis and obviously from an overall average. But it just shows you the gap. If Marc-Andre Fleury is going with a 94, 94 is ridiculous. Usually if you're like 9.2, 9.25, you're golden. And obviously 9.1, 9.15, that's great too. But almost 94. And so that's why I stress so much about, and especially like even yesterday, I'm like, this defensive core, and that comes with the forward's help, needs to play better in front of him because he is playing out of his mind. And you cannot expect that to be sustained. And expect for any goalie, but especially one at his age. And so they really need to get Robin Leonard back on this team because clearly there really isn't a mindset saying we're going to go to the AHL guys. But you also don't want him to deviate from that new mindset that Travis and I just kind of talked about, that more conservative nature, because the more that you rely upon that, the more games he plays behind that type of kind of stress in the D zone, that can kind of override, because now we're getting further away from the offseason where we spent all this time rebuilding how we play, and we're getting more into what are the current habits.
He'll get another look tonight at the Wild. And then it's the back-to-backs, and I think that's where we're all hanging our question marks once we get through this evening and hopefully get, you know, put another a couple of points in the win column where we have to look at the Sharks on the road and go, is this the first opportunity that we have to break away from this? You know, to be honest, a really incredible run that Marc-Andre's put together.
Right, and especially with the emotions that will come with that San Jose series, there's going to be a lot of marches to the box on both sides, and when you have those man advantages, what kind of plays are you usually seeing? You're seeing cross crease. You're asking goalies to kind of put the team on the back and be your best penalty killer. And so that's what the opposite you want to do, but that is what it's going to be necessary for this weekend. But again, that's why it's team defense, and this team has just relied upon him so much to bail them out, and that's why I believe they haven't even scraped the best of their hockey, honestly, because they're just relying on outlier performances from some of their best players.
Well, tonight will be an interesting challenge again, as it's the Wild on a second home game before they hit the road for a week and a half. So tonight, Wild, Golden Knights, 7 o'clock, same puck drop, but the Wild have a change. It's an interesting change because it feels like the brain trust of Minnesota is doing a little bit of line changes, much like Pete DeBoer did a week and a half for a show.
Well, this is different in a way because this is disciplinary. And Zach Parise, who when we did the preview the other day, was brought in to the tune of a 13-year, like $110 million contract in 2012 with Ryan Suter, who plays like nearly 30 minutes a game, but has seen his minutes regress. But Zach, at the end of the game the other night, decided to skip a line change. And there's quotes on Twitter where he was saying, well, I wanted to get Marcus Foligno a hat trick. I don't care about the Marcus Foligno hat trick. But he stayed out and took a long shift, a minute and a half shift, which is inexcusable at that point in the game. Alex Tuck scores the goal, and we know the rest of that story. So today, Dean Avison, whatever, decided, along with Bill Guerin, the GM, that he is going to be a healthy scratch tonight. And that is a huge, huge deal, because the big part of why the Wild have been so mediocre for so long was the catering to the Zach Parises and the Ryan Suters and the now Sabred Eric Staal and the Mikko Koivu left. Like, this is what Guerin has been brought in to do. Because when you cater to these these top guys who aren't superstars and don't exemplify the kind of leadership or the sacrifice or the mindset that is necessary to win games in today's NHL, you have to hold everybody accountable. So for the first time since his rookie season, which was in 2005, and the first time that he's ever been scratched in a Minnesota Wild uniform, is going to happen tonight. And it's not like he's been having a good year. He was demoted down to the third line. But as I said, this is a guy who's also probably a little butthurt about not being named captain. But this is why you weren't named captain, Zach. And so this is a huge deal for the Minnesota fan base. It's definitely a signal, like you said, Paul, of a different direction of the brain trust and what is being asked of the players, because this is an excellent Minnesota Wild team. And so you can't be giving up games like that for guys making selfish decisions.
In a position of point, they need points. Yes. They need points. This is a
and the psychological weight of that loss the other night as well. So huge deal. They're going to be chomping at the bit because they should have had 2 points the other night. And, you know, we'll go over the 3 to 5-ish keys later on in the program of how the Vegas Golden Knights find success tonight. But at the end of the day, you got to want it more than the guys on the other side in the different jerseys, although they are the best jerseys to ever be in this arena. I can guarantee you that.
Well, the Knights are certainly favored and be looking for their fourth win in a row, which for the NHL right now, there are very few teams that have won that many games in a row outside of Tampa, Carolina, and Toronto.
I think it's going to get really ticky-tacky starting to go through because a lot of these teams have either had COVID pauses themselves or been the victim of the COVID pause, like because the teams that they were supposed to play were. So it's getting really tight. And it's already tight to begin with. So it just shows you how much of an urgency there is on the finer details of these games, especially against teams of the caliber like the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, it's going to be much talked about Parise sitting out of this game tonight because of the points battle that is happening. And this could be a springboard for Vegas to kind of just take another step.
Yep.
Forward and get
elevate
them,
your game
and get them out in front of St. Louis, who right now is the current challenger just in terms of standings, because you know Colorado is still kind of Coloradoing.
Yeah, they're really struggling right now. There's a lot of injuries though.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah,
but you know games. You know
Nathan MacKinnon's trying to do too much and he's not getting rewarded, and it's seeping through the rest of the team.
But still very tight.
It's an opportunity.
Right.
Stop messing around.
2 points are important all across the board. So we'll see where that goes. And yes, coming up at about 4:20, we'll get you the keys to a Vegas Golden Knights victory over the Wild tonight. Very important game here in the Western Division. Coming up next, we're a little Raiders heavy. Lots of news coming out of the Silver and Black camp.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Urias is going to get the start for the Dodgers tonight.
Urias!
5:05 first pitch, as you just heard voice guys say. 7-inning spring training game.
Yes.
7.
Stretch those arms out.
By the way, I said BTS 5 times.
Look at you.
That was Dynamite.
Is that one of their songs that was just played? Or you just...
Dynamite? No, yeah, Dynamite is like the song for
BTS. I'm going to probably lose some fans here, but I'm not like a huge BTS person.
You are going to get spammed like crazy.
I respect the
K-pop. They are going
the
to
K-pop
throw
and the,
down
and
on
the
you.
Behemoth that is their influence on the industry. Could not be more happy for them. Just not my bit.
They are going to throw down on you.
Not my bit. I like more music that doesn't have lyrics in it.
They will start posting unicorns on your social media just to flood your social media.
They sometimes save America, the BTS Twitter fans. So, you know, they're a necessary part of our population.
There is that.
And music.
There is that.
Oh, I was going to say, are you hearing this?
No, I was. I'm going to play some audio here.
Oh, look at you trying to be prepared over there.
Trying to be.
Pounding the table.
They said we're a little Raiders heavy today, and Lindsay just... said exactly what general manager Mike Mayock said about Derek Carr, that he and John Gruden would pound the table for Carr
for
2021. So it seems they are ending any sort of trade speculation right now that there may be floating out there, that everybody wants to float out there about Carr, that Carr is their guy.
Or
Carr is this offensive. This is Carr's team. Start the Carr. Perform the car insurance, whatever it is.
We're not to the draft yet. This is the ultimate smokescreen part of the season. You cannot lie, Shakira. Those hips.
Mayock talked with the media for like a half an hour today about a number of things.
Again, it is their job to lie. So I agree. I don't think that they're. We've discussed it. Unless it's Deshaun or Russell Wilson, to be honest, I don't want to move him because it's really not necessary. But these are also coaches. We're going to go to the scout this guy at his pro day to make people think that we're in a draft here.
Sure, absolutely.
Just to throw him off the
scent. Again, you can say all these things right now, and things can obviously change, but it seems right now, in this moment in time, before it splits off into the alternate universe, that Mike Mayock and John Gruden are in Carr's camp.
Yep.
They may not be in Trent Brown's camp, but they're in Derek Carr's camp.
Correct.
The question was about Trent Brown and if he'd be along the lines of if he could be a Raider, and Mayock almost danced around the question, saying if Trent is in shape and stays committed, there's not a better right tackle out there.
And he's right. But that's the ultimate question, is can you stay on the field for one reason or another? And that is kind of yet to be proven. And he's like a big-time locker room guy. And his commitment would go a long way for this young, impressionable squad that apparently Darren Waller says there's no more excuses not to make the playoffs next year. Well, if you're going to do that, you need him to be on the field healthy, and you need him to be focused on what's going on, not going to parties, not doing whatever. Like, and that's there's life away. But if we're trying to take a step, that means we all personally have to take steps ourselves to recommit to the trade.
Well, he says jury's out on Brown right now. It's a big cap hit, but the guaranteed money is gone. So it's a clear cut if they decide to let Brown go.
Right. So it would have to be an addition by subtraction type of situation.
Right. But you're looking again, we start talking about the quarterback movement, and you know, we're seeing literally, you know, the Oprah Winfrey show of tight ends. You get a tight end because like Jared Cook's getting released today by the Saints.
So
now there's Ertz and Cook and Rudolph all on the open market right now.
That's not good for those guys.
So yeah, but you know, pass catching tight ends. Pass catching big tight ends.
Or if you're looking for a blocking tight end, don't go with Kyle Rudolph. But NFC West, this is possibly your time.
So what Lindsay was referring to with Darren Waller, he was on the NFL Network Good Morning Football this morning and had this stuff to say about if there's any more excuses remaining when it comes to the Raiders not making the playoffs in 2021.
I agree. Yeah, we have to make the playoffs. There are no more excuses, no more justifications. I know offensively speaking on the side of the ball that I'm on, we could be better in the red zone. We're good at a lot of things, but we could definitely be better at red zone efficiency and scoring touchdowns there. Defense, I feel like just for them, it just starts with the small things and those little habits and how we prepare on a week-to-week basis will carry over into the game. Playing a more simpler scheme for them, allowing their individual skill sets to shine and to just be more disciplined. Because I feel like we're right there outside of a few plays that even the defense would agree can't happen. We're right there. So I believe in these guys, and I know that this year is going to be a special year for us.
Special year, of which they're going to have to leapfrog again five other teams. If the Raiders make it, who's the team that gets left out in the AFC? I think that's the question.
Well, usually half the teams get cycled out every year who made the playoffs previously. So I think Kansas City is going to be there, Paul. just going to go out on a limb. Well, we have Tennessee. We have
Buffalo.
Buffalo's going to be there. Tennessee, I'm halfway on. Miami didn't make it.
Right, but they were left out at 10 and 6.
I know.
Six.
I think they're going to take a step back. I don't think they're going to get back to 10. Baltimore. Remember, early on in the season last year, they wasn't going so well.
Cleveland.
I think Cleveland's there.
So it's Pittsburgh that gets pushed out
so far,
of the
my locks are Kansas City, Buffalo, and Cleveland. So that's three. And it's five teams, right?
Well, six.
Six. I mean, you got to worry about your division because right now you got to worry about being better than the Chargers, to be totally honest, because I think they're going to, whenever you get a first year head coach and go one of two ways, but you, as of late, the first year head coach, the new look, everything, it's actually boded more towards the success side than it is the failure.
And the team we left out is the Colts.
The Colts.
We're 11-5.
I'll believe it when I see it, Carson.
Well, that's the Titans and the Colts then. Those are your two questions.
Those are my two questions.
But one of them has to get in.
Yeah.
So you've got to leave one out.
Right. And that's, I mean, this is an improving, and we're not even talking about other teams that have been improving. And there's always one that we don't expect to be there. There's always one of those. And so there, I think it's a little bit more than the defense committing to the little things. I think he's speaking to that from a player standpoint because a lot of those guys, like, especially like Abrams, who needs to obviously stay on the field, but sometimes he gets a little bit too jacked up. Takes a couple more penalties, and he's supposed to be the leader of that D, right? He's supposed to be that kind of energy totem for the team, and that's where that discipline comes in. But this team needs talent and depth as well. And so there's just a lot of things we have to pick up at the store. And I'm not sure if there's going to be toilet paper there, Paul. I'm not sure if there's some TikTok baking thing where they've cleaned out all the baking soda. And so
I think it'll take another special year. One of those quirky years where you get
a
couple of victories. It's been years, but I'm saying you're going to have to get those victories in the places where you don't expect them.
Right.
Like we all thought it was like, oh, when they, you know, early on in the season, the New Orleans
halfway
game.
There, we were doing it and then it dropped off.
Yeah. Well, you're 2-6 at home.
Right.
You can't go 2-6 at home and make the playoffs.
No, you can't. You can't. But that sustained commitment throughout the entire season, when things start to get hard, when you're banged up, when you don't want to be at the facility, it's like, you still got to go to the gym at 4. This is why you're making the millions.
And you're flipping tires.
Yeah, it's not all glamorous. It's mostly not glamorous because you're beholden to this entire thing. But this is, if you want a special year, it takes a special commitment. And that's every single day. And that's the bare minimum. That's the bare minimum. You gotta show up, but then it's intentionality. Like the Outliers book by Malcolm Gladwell. It can't just be like, we're going to show up here and go through the motions.
No, the Raiders signed their long snapper to a 3-year contract today. This was literally like, he hasn't missed a snap
That's
like,
excellent.
He's
that's
the
his
guy.
One job.
3-year. Hey, listen, he and his wife are happy clearly in the photo.
I'm happy for them.
There's that, but that was like one of the, that was like going to be like the Raiders kind of thing. And then all this other news started trickling out, talking about Trent Brown and Derek Carr. And the other news today was we now have a market price for Tyrell Williams, where it has been reported that he is going to sign with Detroit for $6.2 million.
Which he came from the Chargers, right? So that kind of makes sense because Anthony Lynn's now the offensive coordinator.
Made 11 last year. So
6.2.
6.2 for, hopefully, I mean, I want Williams to do well. I mean, labor, you know, you just cap casualty. It's what it is.
Yep.
But 6.2. So right. We now know where.
But Lynn knows exactly what he's capable of. He knows the offense. He knows all these things. So you're willing to probably stretch that money out. Because I think that's a little rich for me coming off an injury year. But I wouldn't go anything lower than like a 4 or 5. But 6.2, all those intangibles we were talking about yesterday, that's where that extra mil and a half, 2 mil comes into.
And big target. And you're right about someone who's already familiar with your offensive coordinator. That certainly helps
in
a ton.
In the chaos that is now the Detroit Lions with so much change over there, not just the coaching staff, but the quarterback as well. Like just having, you know, somebody who knows half
sure
the playbook.
Hands, right?
Yep,
sure
exactly.
Hands will certainly help. So, yeah, lots of Raiders news today. Lots of things to ponder and roll through. Coming up next, Johnny Duffer.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay on this Wednesday afternoon. It's always good to set goals, long-term goals, short-term goals.
Life goals.
Right, keeps us all driven, much like a former Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Manziel, who's been playing football in the FCFL. The fan-controlled football league, of which he still looks like a pretty decent football player.
Yeah.
To be honest. But he has other aspirations. He lives just down the road there in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hangs out, plays a lot of golf. So much golf that he is a scratch golfer.
Sure.
He wants to be a pro golfer on tour in the next 10 years.
So do I, Paul. So do I.
He works at the Craft.
He does. He does indeed.
He's an athlete.
There are literally thousands of other guys that are scratch golfers.
Tim Tebow was not one.
No. Well, that's because he chose baseball.
Yes, he did.
But, you know, it's easy to kind of make that transition to golf as an athlete. The repetition of it, the kind of go to the course, go do the grind, all that other stuff. I'm sure he's great. There are plenty of other people. So, again, great for the shoot for the moon, Johnny. If you miss, maybe you'll land among the stars. Posted those in my middle school all over the place back in the day. But, you know, anything could happen, I suppose.
Sure.
Anything could happen.
You know, I'm kind of okay with this. We've talked about golf needing the next person.
I'm not saying
it has to be Johnny Manziel, but it would bring some attention to the sport. Not necessarily. I mean, it'd be
wanted attention.
I
don't know if he's doing with the same etiquette as you probably could play with on tour. No offense, just knowing his history.
No, maybe not. But you know, golf brings out you know, the competitive nature in a lot of people. It's very clear. It's a very focused game and a very driven game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. He would be
the keeps him out of trouble too.
He would
Who
be.
Am I to
you
say?
Know, at this point in his life, you know, maybe he is the Happy Gilmore of golf. Maybe he isn't. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's scratch, I mean, thousands of guys. Yes, I get it. Lots of people play scratch. Mm-hmm. They do have a tour in Arizona. It's called like the Renegade Tour.
Yeah,
it's like you
is
pay,
it literally like a Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, you pay. Well, there's a couple of them down there. You pay.
Well, you don't have to play here. You just think of internationally. He can go overseas and do it, too.
He could play Euro Tour, yeah, for sure. He could play in the Asian Tour.
I'm sure. It's a growing game at pretty much everywhere but here right now.
Right.
Literally.
Maybe he could do the, what is that ABC show that Steph Curry produced? The Holy Moly?
Yeah.
Isn't that
yeah, mini golf, I was going to say. I'm so bad at mini golf.
Windmills.
I take it too seriously.
Windmills and clowns.
Because I'm like, my mind doesn't go that way. I'm like, I'm just trying to get in the hole. I don't need this windmill. I don't need this clown tongue.
That's the whole point.
I know.
That's the whole point of miniature
golf. I know,
golf.
But then it's like you're supposed to be good at it. So if you go with people that never play golf and you're not being good at it, then it frustrates
me. Right, because like, hey, I got a hole in one. And you're
like, a perfectionism problem.
Yeah, I just took a 3 on the clown.
Yeah. I'm good at the mini golf like computer games because then you have like the angle tool.
Right.
Then I can do it.
Tap golf.
Exactly.
Big fan of tap golf.
Yeah.
I used to pay $1 a round back where I grew up.
There have to be some like cool mini golf courses here besides the KS one.
Should play that one.
We should. Except I don't like Gene. He scares me.
Ah.
I don't like it.
Playmakers rolls on a Wednesday.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number 2, well, kind of like half an hour.
Yes.
Of the show.
Literally.
That's Lindsay. I'm Paul.
Hi.
Wednesday. There you go. A little shorter start to the second hour.
You know what? I'm going to start ripping apart every sound you make. Like, I don't know, Paul. You're thinking of enthusiasm out of that one.
I have lots of enthusiasm.
The word Truth choice is enthusiasm. Just not up to snuff today.
English is barely my first language.
Correct. Correct.
Just barely.
Barely.
Can't conjugate for the life of me sometimes.
Conjugate those verbs.
We have a half an hour here. We're going to plow through the road here. A four of a kind is going to kick off. And also you get keys to the game for Vegas Golden Knights Wild tonight at about 4:20. Because we will turn things over to Dodgers baseball spring training. As they take on the Cincinnati Reds, Julio Urias will get the start for the Los Angeles Dodgers against the Reds. They're playing 7 innings tonight. Just 7.
It's like 5 too many, I think.
Right. There was a story today. Who was it? One of the managers. It may have been La Russa, actually, was saying he felt bad for the fans because they didn't know what they were buying into because you were buying the tickets early.
Yeah.
And the teams could choose, yeah, we're just going to play 5 today.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They could just like stop it whenever they want. They just do whatever they want. But you know what? They don't have the same amount of players there.
Correct. Yeah,
it's more out of protection.
Yeah, it's mostly like the expanded 40-man roster.
It's just
for
so
the
exhaustive to play the baseball. Gonna hold on, guys. We need an extended break. We've ran 20 feet too far.
Wow.
I'm just saying what needs to be said.
I suppose.
Yeah, no.
All right, so we're going to kick off our four of a kind here as we pick a topic or something in the news that's relatable, that we can kind of relate something around. An NBA All-Star Weekend is this weekend. Kind of snuck up on us, to be honest. Because it's not really a weekend. It's like NBA All-Star Day.
Yeah.
Because it's no longer a weekend. There's no celebrity turnover fest.
Yeah, we don't have to watch Kevin Hart try to sink threes and then Kevin James miss a layup.
But there will be a skills competition involving the three-pointers and a slam dunk competition, which will not have Zion in it, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, what's the point? And they're doing it at halftime, too. They're like, we're getting it all in, boys. No water breaks for you.
Right. So y'all just go sit on the sidelines, watch these guys dunk for a while, and then come back and play the rest of the game where no one will be yet.
You should just dunk dunkaroos. Be a lot more compelling.
Well, and that leads me to our four of a kind today. So instead of slam dunks and three-pointers, 4 individual skills competitions that would be a much better offering for fans to enjoy during the NBA All-Star Weekend, a.k.a. just Sunday.
Other things to compete in.
That's just what it is. So
yes.
Instead of three-point shooting and slam dunks, we would offer up these skills competitions.
Okay. I went first yesterday, so I believe it is you that will be leading us off today.
Did you go first yesterday?
I did, because yesterday was Tuesday and you started on Monday.
What was yesterday's?
Tuesday. We did the history things.
Oh, right, right.
We did the, yeah.
It was Sporty McSportersons.
Well, I scrapped my entire thing and just went off of your historical record. Gotcha. Because we just went off of inspiration.
Sure. So, in terms of skills competitions, my first one is pretty simple.
Yeah.
To be honest, it would be, again, and as we are talking about the NBA All-Star Weekend, I would suggest that the players would have to set up a wedding registry.
Oh, my God.
See? Exactly. As confusing as that could be.
I'm already changing mine.
As strange as that could be.
Oh.
Think about all the things that come along with a wedding.
But will it be the wedding planning. How long is this? Because do you have to field the calls from the people you send the registry to who are just looking to verify some details?
Just
because honestly.
Set up the wedding registry. That's all it is.
Oh,
it just,
my just, goodness.
You sit all five competitors down at the table.
Yeah. What was your favorite wedding present that you got that you put on the registry? What was something that you put on there was like, yep, I want this?
Something on the wedding registry I got. Most of it was just stuff.
I want to be one of those people that marries myself just for the gifts.
It was a lot. We got a lot of stuff. Boy, the favorite
thing.
That's
the whole point of the wedding registry.
Well, no, it's true. But, you know, again,
you
it's about
table napkin,
it's about
metal
filling
fasteners.
Out the thing. But that was the thing. We didn't pick that kind of
a mixer,
that kind of stuff. You know, it wasn't a lot of
a fake
those
plant.
Kinds of things. The best thing. I'm going to have to come back to that
okay.
one. That's a tough one because we still have a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, your house is awesome. Like, honestly, it's the closest thing I've ever seen to a toy store. And I know that was probably accumulated after the children.
Yes.
But still, it's pretty sweet. It's pretty, I have to admit. Yeah, I like that one. That's that is a loaded type of just thing you got to do. It's fun. It's fun in theory. But it's not fun in actuality.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. One thing that, kids, you do not try this at home. One competition that I always love doing, it's an actual competition. Are you familiar with the game Chubby Bunny?
Chubby Bunny.
Chubby Bunny. You need a bag of marshmallows. Do not get the jumbo ones because you will die, literally.
Jumbo marshmallows.
You see how many marshmallows you can fit in your mouth while doing the Chubby Bunny. So you put one in, Chubby Bunny. Put
sure.
two in, or put it, you add one by one.
Right.
And then obviously your cheeks get super big, Chubby Bunny, Chubby Bunny. But like I said, kids, you do not do this unless there is adult supervision and you don't go to the max. Because sometimes when you try to lift to the max and your muscle gives out, you will aspirate it and will not be a fun time. But I think the professional athletes could probably handle it.
Yeah, that wouldn't be
Chubby Bunny. Chubby Bunny.
That would be pretty simple too and easily sponsorable.
Correct. Puffs.
You know.
Brought to you by the s'mores.
We actually like the mini marshmallows at our house.
Oh yeah, I throw in some hot chocolate.
My daughter loves the small ones. No, she just eat a bowls of them.
Oh, okay.
She just eat bowls of mini marshmallows.
See, I was one of those people that would get like the hot chocolate. And I would just keep reheating just to keep putting more and more marshmallows. I would just take it off the top, shovel it in. Oh, we need more. Put it in there. Take it off the top, shovel it in. Oh, reheat. Because the marshmallows down there, they're not puffing up anymore, not changing shape.
There's that. All right.
Chubby Bunny.
It's NBA All-Star Weekend coming up this weekend. And instead of slam dunk competitions and three-pointers, of course, which we have seen. By the way, I would like to give you the radio call of the last year's three-point competition. Here we go. One. Two. Missed that one. Three.
God, this is compelling.
Four. There's the money ball. You missed it. Next rec. Five.
Rack them up!
Six. That's literally the three-point call.
Yes.
So my number two is something that would also apply to real life, but would also be sponsorable as well.
Is this real life?
I would suggest a timed competition in folding pizza boxes.
Oh! Not like just putting the top over. They start out flat. You would be killer in this.
Flat pizza boxes, 10 flat pizza boxes, and it would be timed, and it would just be like, assemble.
Assemble!
Literally just assemble.
Brilliant.
Just 10 pizza boxes. There's so much pizza that rolls through the NBA. Shaq could be the official timer because he owns all the franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it could be Papa John's pizza boxes.
Love Papa Juan's.
So,
huge fan.
Could be that. So I'm just saying pizza box folding.
There's nothing worse than getting a paper cut from cardboard. I'm sure you've suffered because it's a double.
That's right up there.
Yeah, it's because it's two, and then sometimes even in the middle. Oh my God!
Do you make the sound when it happens?
What the? Ow! Bad words.
I do the Peter Griffin. I don't know why, but it always works out that way. It's like. And and I look at it, and there's that the purest of pure red blood.
Yeah, yeah. There's not platelets. There's only plasma.
Right.
Yeah.
This is like. And then what do you do with that finger? You put it in your mouth.
Yeah, because there's immediately pain stuff in your saliva that helps kill pain. This is a fact.
It is immediate.
Yeah.
You cut your finger, you put it in your mouth.
I really have to waste a Band-Aid on this wound.
Right. And then it never heals. And then you get that little hard little flap thing.
It's always on the bad part of your finger that you use constantly. And then you try to wash your hair in the shower and it burns. You got to put your hand in a hockey glove and it burns. And then the Band-Aid doesn't stay on because you're sweaty. And then it gets stuck in your goalie glove and you can't take it out. I don't like... That would be the worst. What is this? How long is that piece of audio? My God. No, that's we'd have to have some trainers on staff, but that would be a good competition. I like that one.
Ice quick would be like Top Chef. Right? Put a glove on it.
So I'm not one of those people that likes murder shows. I don't really like the shows that where people are like Antique Roadshow or cult shows. But a show that I watched this past week, and I'm fascinated, was called Blown Up, I think. Something, and it's about glass blowing.
Okay, yeah.
I want to see these guys do some glass blowing. Because it's super intense, and obviously there's fire and stuff everywhere. But I just want to see, like, them compete in some sort of art competition where you have a set amount of time.
Right.
You have to produce something, and then you have to, explain your piece. And glass blowing is probably, like, the most extreme example because it's probably, like, this isn't the time to do the first time at this. Maybe it's a Play-Doh sculpture. Maybe it's a paper mache.
Somewhere out in the concourse, they've got a bunch of glass blowing set up.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But I want them to compete in some sort of like art competition and more or less, let's see who's creative. Let's see who has a vision here, you know, because it's just like, oh, that's a hand walking down like pajamas. Like, what is it? Does it look like it's in motion? What does the motion mean to you, Paul? The blues speaks to me.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that would
be. Glass blowing.
Yeah. Or just any sort of artistic competition.
The halftime glass blowing.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It's along the lines of
bringing the glory holes, actual thing that is using glass blowing.
Along the line of
those rods in the glory hole.
Cake decorations.
Yeah.
For sure.
I hate the cake ones.
So, four individual skills competitions to offer better than slam dunks and three-pointers. I'm going to borrow a page out of Halftime Entertainment and go with a little bit something quirky that it would be T-shirt cannon targets.
Oh!
To where you would line up targets in the upper decks, and each player would have five T-shirts to knock down said target.
I like it. Those things, I want to fire one of those things so bad.
It's a good
time. Those are dangerous.
It's a good time. Well,
have you done it?
It's compressed air. Yeah, it's a compressed air hooked up to
it's like a potato gun.
Yeah. Essentially, just with, softer logo T-shirts of some random, plumbing group on the side of it.
Clear tape, just like, we got to get it in there just to make sure it's compact.
Right. So, yeah, T-shirt cannon targets.
I like that one.
Something simple.
That's a good one. I would like... I'm just trying to choose. I have so many good options now. I want Disney karaoke with no lyric help.
Disney karaoke
with no, because a lot of them have kids. We all kind of know Tale as Old as Time.
Sure, like, absolutely.
And I want a singing competition.
Some sort of singing karaoke.
Yes, where it's like the most obvious songs, but then you always do the cutout right at the end where it's like, you're going with the music because you're like, it's okay. The music's hiding it. Like that you can, I'm saying the lyrics along, but then you cut everything out and then it's just you with no background whatsoever. And then see who's got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I dig that.
Thank you.
Skills competitions.
Moana. Make way.
All right. So for my last individual skills competition that I would find slightly amusing and somewhat challenging at the same time, I'm going lowest common denominator here. Spelling bee.
Oh, God.
Straight up spelling bee.
Definition of the word, please.
Just spelling bee.
Origin of
just
the word, please.
Let them roll through word after word after word
Is
after
it
word.
Monosyllabic or polysyllabic? Suppose that would be something you'd have to know.
It would encourage learning as well.
It would.
This is literally not doing, because you pretty much just pick science fair with glass blowing. So you're talking about heat and art and, you're right.
It's a lifestyle, Paul. It's not just heat and blowing and glory holes, as I said. It's a great show. You should see some of this stuff that people just make in 4 hours. It's unbelievable.
Spelling bee.
All right. Spelling bee.
What's your last one?
My last one. Pool noodle jousting.
That's great.
Yep.
I love that one.
You have to reinforce them. It's probably going to have to be like a three, special. Like a three, right? Or after it put like some sort of stabilizing rod in there. But I want pool noodle jousting. And if we could do it in the pool, actually, chicken fight style, be even better.
Well, this year it's in Atlanta. I believe they still have the swimming complex there. So
bring your safety goggles.
So you can do it at Georgia Tech.
There we go.
Marco Polo with NBA athletes.
Marco!
So in honor of NBA All-Star Weekend this weekend, there are new offerings as opposed to doing a slam dunk competition without Zion.
Yeah, what's the point?
Or shooting threes as well. All right, coming up next, stick around. Get your keys to the game as the Vegas Golden Knights take on the Wild once again.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Remember, if you've missed any portion of the show, you can revisit it through the radio.com rewind feature of the radio.com app. It is free for you to use. You just have to download it from the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. Then to find us and subscribe to the Nightcap Podcast, which was just mentioned by Big Voice Guy, or this program, search out CBS Sports Radio 1140 and hit the heart in the upper portion of your screen. It is round two. Ding, ding, ding. With the Minnesota Wild and your Las Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas Knights. Everyone complains
so
when
words.
You just say Knights and VGK and Vegas Born. And it's all
what happens when you name your AHL team the same exact thing but a different color.
It's all interchangeable. Will they have the gold buckets on tonight? That could be
one of the
bigger questions that will show up on the television. And by the way, you do have to slightly adjust the color balance on your TV when they wear those helmets.
Why?
I've noticed it's a little bit kind of it's like looking at headlights at night on the freeway a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when you see
just
them.
Imagine being in the arena. That's what I'm saying. That's why I had a migraine the first time. Thank God I bring my glasses every time. My sunglasses. I literally wear them inside. Don't care. I'm styling. But, you know, the other night was the first time that they won in the golden chrome domes. And it wasn't looking good initially, Paul, but they were able to, you know, have a third period comeback, rely on Mark Stone, the great, and, you know, get the 2 points that are necessary. But the Minnesota Wild are going to be chomping at the bit tonight. You know, they know that they let an opportunity slip away. They know that now they have one loss. You can't get two in a row because that's going to drop even lower in the standings. And to be honest, they were the better team on the ice. And so the Golden Knights have a tall, tall task ahead of them this evening.
Well, we knew it was going to be a dogfight between these two teams. We had our first setup a couple of weeks ago when we played in the Tahoe game with Colorado and played the Avs and split that series. This was supposed to be kind of that next set. We do get a little bit of a break on a back-to-back with San Jose. But again, two teams at the top of this division looking to slug it out, it's true litmus test for both of these teams because they can really square up and figure out where they're at this point in the season, if the things are working that should be working or if they can make adjustments. I think that's where, you know, I struggled a little bit early on, Lindsay, completely, you know, transparent here with the whole idea of having to play the college style hockey by having to play teams back to back. You know, in baseball, you have so many games, it's a little bit, you know.
Well, it's different pitchers every
right.
day, too.
You're seeing different matchups, but these are the same teams over and over again. So the adjustments are slightly different. So you get to figure out what works and what doesn't. But we have seen, to be honest, a lot more competition with these back to backs just based on maybe it's grudges, maybe it's something to prove because you played close games.
It's just notes. Like if you take a test one day and then 2 days later you take the same exact test, it's just, you know, it's a different weather, you have a different pencil, you're feeling different. Like you're going to remember some of the answers that you had already gone through, and some of them you got wrong, and hopefully that you learn from those and are able to elevate your game, because as much as you have notes on them, they have notes on you as well. And you're absolutely right. There is a grudginess, especially with how that game kind of ended with a couple of penalties that should have been called. One on us with a high sticking at the end of the third, and then one on them when they slashed Mark Stone. He said, you know what? I'm just going to go, you know, have my fifth assist anyways. But, you know, they know what's at stake each and every night. Everybody is aware of how condensed the schedule is, how important every single point is, and it's a pride thing. And there's definitely a psychological like damage that was done to the Wild the other night, just because two goal leads don't mean anything in the game of hockey. But when you let one slip away in the manner that they did, where they shut out the Knights for the first half of that third period, didn't even allow a shot, and then it went right back the other way. You know, it's going to be about playing that 60-minute effort tonight for both of these teams. It's just like, it's best on best. So you got to figure out how to, cheat a little bit more without, you know, having the teacher catch you.
Well, with the Wild now down a player, as we learned before the game, Zach Parise's going to sit, not because of injury, but just he's going to sit.
Yep.
That show, it's not a major tweak by any means, but it is a tweak that the Knights will have to adjust
too.
To. Yeah, for both. Well, for Minnesota, it's a distraction.
Yeah.
But Vegas is going to see something slightly different on the ice.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's a big time grit guy. He stands in front of the net and will take cross checks to the spine all day long, but he hasn't been exactly himself all season and was making some poor selfish decisions the other night. But whoever is inserted into that lineup is probably coming from the practice squad and is gonna be vibing and ready to go. And sometimes you're like, oh, new guys haven't been up here for a while, probably haven't played at this level for a while. There's gonna be some naivety there, but then there's also just like the juice that comes from that and the energy from that.
So let's dive into the keys for Vegas Golden Knights victory tonight. One, obviously, you just suggested 60 minutes of hockey.
Yes, that is an obvious thing, and it starts by a shift-by-shift effort, and something that you said in terms of adjusting on the fly. That is something that the Golden Knights do not do super well. They're a team that doesn't really know how to compartmentalize their emotions very well. That's why we saw the kind of compounding mistakes in the second period where you get goals in quick succession. And they need to find a way to kind of disassociate themselves from their last shift. You get back to the bench. What did I do, coach? What do I need to do, coach? Or maybe they don't say anything. But you have to figure out how to improve in the little ways, whether that's I need to be in the right area of the ice, or I need to win one more 50-50 battle, or I need my shot to hit the net. That is something that they need to start doing, because it's just, sometimes they just get caught too much in the same spin cycle, and then it gets way too out of hand before they can get a handle on it. So compartmentalize those shifts, and the emotions are definitely a big key to tonight's game. What we have been stressing upon with Travis Joe, so what we were talking about the last couple of days, D-zone coverage must be better. Has to be better. Because otherwise, Marc-Andre Fleury will feed off of that, and then this team feeds off of Marc-Andre Fleury. If we don't have guys picking up bodies in front of the net, if we don't have guys picking up the sticks of those bodies in front of the net, why are you there? And if you're not there, why are you out here? Do the full 200-foot game. Forwards can't be going up along the blue line when we don't have possession of the puck in our D zone. They need to be picking guys up, and they need to disarm people. You need to go the full way to commit to that entire part of your game. Less puck watching, more body snatching, basically, in the D zone. They need to make sure that they get good penetration in the offensive zone, not to settle for shots to the outside. That's what was largely happening in the first period. In the second period, we know we got took to lunch, and we are only two goals came on the power play, which is also one of my keys. But before I get to that, about the offensive zone, that's how you get goalies lathered up and vibing. I don't know if Cam Talbot's going to be in the net again tonight. They've been kind of going back and forth, whether it's the rookie with Kaapo Kähkönen, who's a very kind of like wound up goalie, very athletic, or Talbot, who's been in the league for forever. I can stop whatever puck if it's outside of the face-off dots, but getting those cross-ice passes from Mark Stone, who they are going to key in on tonight, you have to if we have five primary assists, but you have to get the puck below the goal line, possess it, and then use your numbers, use your bodies to support the puck. Don't just settle for those rushes and those entries. Just be like, wrist shot. Oh, we didn't score. Damn it. Like, it needs to be better than that. Also, when you're not making those lateral moves at the blue line on those zone entries, the Golden Knights had three offsides in the first period the other night. And when you're stopping at the blue line, when you're trying to make those passes, trying to make it a fancy play before you even gain the zone, you're not only creating hesitation, but you're creating further apprehension in your lineup that, oh, I need to slow up. Oh, I need to second guess my initial kind of decision that I don't actually have to cognitively make it. My body just does it. It disrupts the rhythm. And like I said, it creates this timing problem. And I think that's something that carried over into that second period, just because once you start to get second guess yourself, you're already dead in the water most of the time. So don't hesitate. Just get the zone. Take the puck yourself. It's okay to be selfish sometimes. And don't be fancy. Get the zone and make the play.
Knights, you're going to have to lean into them a little bit more tonight, for sure, because the Wild are going to come with a little bit more snarl, I think, you know, just based on Monday's performance.
And they're wearing the reverse retros, Paul, are amazing.
You have a Fouche quote? We have about a minute left.
I don't have a Fouche quote, but I totally forgot about the Fouche. But, you know, it's really about making sure that you take care of business personally, and that how that feeds into the team in general. They all know what to do. They all know how they can clean these things up. It's just about executing on those finer details and going by a shift-by-shift basis. All right. Us life, Paul. Yeah. Just be present so you can be successful in your future. There's a quote, Foosh quote of the day there right there.
There you go. All present 2,600 fans, as well as Lindsay, who reminds you to use your blinkers.
Please. Please use your blinkers.
7 o'clock puck drop, and we'll get you all caught up on all the reaction and how things go during tomorrow's show. We're off to the Dodgers. Coming up next, Dodgers and Cincinnati on the way. For Mark, she's Lindsay, I'm Paul. That's a wrap on the Playmakers for a Wednesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.